We've left off on part one and part two of the series of very important things, and this is the continuation. This is part three of Children Are the Root of All Things, from and we're titling it that, from No Greater Joy Ministries. It's a very important broadcast and things to consider. So take a listen.
We had to train our children how to escape the government authorities. We had escape routes through the woods. We had rendezvous points. We had people to pick them up. We had plans to leave the country if we had to. We weren't giving in. And so we fought it. Others joined us in time. And eventually we got homeschooling to be legal in the state of Tennessee. And one by one, each state fell to making it legal. But now they're trying to undo much of that. So the homeschool movement has now matured to a point to where we have a large pool of graduates which we can survey and ask the question, how did it work? The first wave are in their late 20s and even early 30s. They're now married, like my children are, and have children of their own. And there are many success stories. The success can be measured by doctors and lawyers and scientists and teachers and people with solid intellectual and academic credentials. But more than that, success can be measured by the stability, the emotional stability of men and women who are entering into marriage virtuous and training up their children in a way that is better than they themselves were trained. We're seeing a reversal of the slide that was occurring, and we're seeing wonderful, wonderful fruit. Now, we have a new generation of godly parents, second generation of godly parents even, who are building these heavenly marriages. Now, the public school system is a drug stupid, sex-oriented, illiterate mass of misfit Marxist clones. Anybody who would send their kids to public school is either really ignorant or they're child abusers. Now, not all homeschoolers are success stories. We get letters. I mean, when you get thousands of letters as we do, and especially people are prone to write if something's going wrong. They don't always write when it's going right. And so we get letters. If we judge just by the number of letters we get of negative things taking place, we would think that maybe a fourth of the homeschoolers were having some bad failures. But I know that we're getting a disproportionately large number of letters from those who are seriously having problems. So not all homeschoolers are success stories. Some have failed, a few, not the majority, but some have failed to live up to their own expectations. And then others have failed miserably. They have failed to live up to the lowest expectations of people in the secular world. And so we have to ask why. There was a young girl came to work for us who was raised in a very religious home. I mean, very religious, very strict. A guy who wore his religion on his shirt sleeve. And always ready to criticize and condemn and make judgments. And when she was 16 years old, she homeschooled, but she ran away. And she shacked up with a druggie. And then he broke her jaw. And so she came running home, and we met her, and we put her to work just to help her out. She was not saved yet. He thought she was. She thought she was. We knew she wasn't. She worked about 2 weeks and went back to Florida to find this street bum and get beat up and messed up and put in the hospital a second time. Now, this was a sweet homeschool girl who just couldn't stand to stay at home. She jumped ship. And she jumped ship into an infestation of sharks. And they were eating her flesh. Now, her parents were brokenhearted. She came back a second time, and we put her back to work. She finally got saved. A man that I led to the Lord in the prison got out of the prison, came to work for us. They married. They now have 4 children, and they're doing wonderful. But it took God, it took a miracle of the new birth to straighten her out. Homeschooling failed her. Or her parents, who homeschooled her, failed her. The devil gobbled her up. Kids are jumping ship for various reasons. Listen to a letter that a physician wrote me. This is a medical doctor. I'm going to read you word for word exactly what he said. He said, as a family physician who sees many homeschool families in my office, I'm fully aware of how much damage is being done to young women because of this cloistered homeschool syndrome. That's a term I coined for that patriarchal movement whereby children are so protected from the world that they never develop character. He said, it started with good intentions, but has grown so far out of balance that these families are becoming dysfunctional. That's what the medical doctor, Christian medical doctor, calls some of his patients' children dysfunctional. 80% of my patients are Christians, and a good majority of them are homeschoolers. I've worked with over 20 young ladies from 20 to 35 years of age who are so sheltered that they have no freedom to minister outside their homes unless they work directly under their fathers. They have no freedom in Christ and must only associate with those who walk, talk, and look just like they do. To desire to be educated as adults or to think on their own is forbidden. To have friends who do not belong to the accepted group of believers is unthinkable to the family. This false teaching is creating a growing number of health problems in our young adult daughters in these homes and also among the wives who are being forced to believe and teach these untruths, that is, a patriarchal system, to their children. Satan is using this new patriarchal teaching to destroy families in the Christian community everywhere. The effect of it is destroying believers' bodies due to extreme stress and is taking them right out of their ministry to unbelievers because they're too sick and are such a poor testimony to the world around them. Please accept my gratitude for what you're doing, and please follow up on this important homeschool issue before more families are divided or destroyed. So there is an evaluation made by a physician about some of the rotten fruit that has come forth from the homeschool movement. Now, isolationism didn't work. It didn't work. Isolationism is the idea that you can keep your children from knowing evil, then good will be the default position. If somehow you can just protect them from the world, it's assumed that by a process of osmosis, they're just naturally going to be Christians. It's assumed that evil is something outside, something that has to be taught, that it has to become through an environment. Now, folks, that's a false philosophy. You see, evil is within. Evil can be created in each generation. Evil, each child can experience his own fall in a garden that's perfect. He can experience his own fall into sin. Children can lace hands with the devil in a home that reads Bible stories and prays every day. Children that are isolated from bad influences can participate in incest, can create it, develop it without any influence. They can get into bestiality. We get those letters. I know what we're talking about. They can become thieves, liars, hateful, mean, and get just as wicked as the people I deal with in prison, by the time they're 8 or 10 years old in a home isolated from the world. So isolationism didn't work. You must not assume that innocence is a hedge. There are no second generation Christians. No second generation Christians. I have been a student of the revivals of the past, the movements of God, and a movement of God lasts just one generation. The fruit of it will spill over into the children of those people who experience a revival. But mostly it is the structure that was created, the moral atmosphere that was established, creates sort of an entropy that just projects itself like any social order does into the next generation. But by the third generation, atheism, apostasy, and immorality is rampant. We now have the second generation, those who were homeschooled. And some of them carried a strong faith in God, a personal faith, into their family. Others are just like an arrow shot. They are losing speed. They are running out of energy. And they will fall to the earth as duds, and their children won't make it. All because there's the assumption that if we just are good Christians, we go to church, we read the Bible, we pray, we talk about God, that somehow our children, by the process of osmosis, are going to pick up on this and they're going to develop into good Christians. It's just not working that way. See, homeschooling is just a context in which to do culture planting. In itself, it has no virtue. It's just a classroom. It is a classroom that you must decide the curriculum. You are the teacher, and you are the primary example. So removing kids from the influence of secular humanism does not remove them from the opportunity to sin. You see, what we're doing is we're cloning our worldview when we homeschool. We're cloning, we hope, our souls. Now, I know some parents who say, I don't want to clone my soul. I'm trying to create something that's quite a bit better than mine. We all do that. But in reality, face it, you're not going to create something better and deeper and richer in your children than you yourself are. Now, it is possible if you happen to be part of a good community of believers and a church that's extremely spiritual, that your children, through other influences, can become a lot more than you are. But I guarantee you, if you isolate them to just you, they'll never be more than you are. In fact, it's almost impossible that they'll be as much as you are. They're most likely going to be something a little less. It takes more than just our influence. It takes the influence of a godly community. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Now, nothing's automatic about culture cloning. It is a job that requires planning and proper execution. So people are asking, what can I do to make sure my children are actually embracing the values we teach? What can I do to prepare my children to resist the temptations of the world? How can I impart a knowledge of good and evil to my children that will cause them to choose the good? How can I forewarn and forearm my children without taking away their innocence? How can I cause them to love righteousness and hate iniquity? How can I cause them to be patient and wait for the spouse God has prepared for them? That sounds like a really big job to me. I'm so glad we got our 5 up and got them married off good and got grandkids, got 14 and 15 grandkids now. I don't know how many I got. Some of them I haven't seen yet. They live too far away. Rebecca lives out in New Mexico. I think she's got a 4-month-old we've never seen. A 5-month-old, something like that. The only reason I knew that, she said it a while ago. I'd forgotten that one. Yeah. So we ask these questions. How can I know that what I'm doing is going to work all the way through to they're 18, 19, 20 years old and they're out on their own? How can I be certain that I'm not fooling myself? become what you want your children to be. There's no shortcut here. Become what you want your children to be. You see, it won't work unless your whole person is committed to righteousness and love. It takes a good father to be a good husband. It takes a good husband to be a good father. It takes a good marriage to be a good child trainer. A good Christian is a good child trainer. You're a whole person. You're one being. And you can't split yourself and say, okay, I'm satisfied being a nominal Christian, but I want to have the best kids on the face of the earth. It won't work that way. You can't say, well, I know I don't have a very good marriage, but at least I want to have some great kids. It won't work that way. You're going to have to treat your life as a whole. And if you want to lift your children up, you're going to have to get yourself down on your knees and get right with God. Secretly observing pornography is not going to save your boys from sexual immorality. It's going to guarantee their immorality because you're opening up your home to the devil. While you are secretly observing pornography, the devil has the authority to go into your 13-year-old son's bedroom and stimulate him. You must purge yourself of your secret sins and become the man of God that you should be if your children, your boys, are going to become the sons you want them to be and your daughters the ladies you want them to be. Now, I observed years ago, people would come to me, a woman, a man, come and say, I want you to talk to my 17-year-old son. He's on drugs. He's immoral. He's godless. Now, these people were not Christians, and they were nominal Christians. And I'd go out and talk to their son and win him to the Lord. And he'd start singing hallelujah. He'd start praying. He'd get his Bible, and he'd go out on the street and start preaching to people. He'd give up his smoking and his cussing and his drinking and his carousing. And he'd start reading his Bible at home and going to church. And 2 weeks later, the mother would come back to me and say, my son is a fanatic. He's a nut. You've got to talk to him. I said, ma'am, I already did, and it's too late. What he's got now, I can't take away. You see, she wanted her son just to be nominal like she is. She just wanted him to go to college and be wealthy. She didn't want him to be a religious nut. And folks, until you're willing to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and your neighbors, yourself, you're never going to lead your children in the paths of righteousness. That's the bottom line. And children cannot be fooled with religion. They are far better psychologists than you and I are. And they know us better than we know ourselves because we've developed the adult art of deception, self-deceit, and lying. And they have some sort of a simple honesty, some sort of a belief in the ideal at 15, 16, 17 years old. And they just cannot accept duplicity, hypocrisy. That's what created the hippie movement, was a reaction to the hypocrisy of their parents. So we need, if we're going to be good child trainers, we need a revival within. You can't do the right thing as a parent without becoming the right person. This is not a matter of principles to be applied. This is a matter of a life that is transmitted by means of life. It's not a series of actions or proper steps. It's walking in step with the Holy Spirit of God. Pure souls living pure lives don't need a great deal of knowledge about child training to raise good kids. Hear me now. I know parents who are dumb, can't hardly read my books, not cool at all. But when you go to their home, you sense Like Jesus said of Nathanael, here is a family in whom there is no guile. You sense that there's a purity and a life and a love flowing through that family. And they do many of the wrong things, bring up their kids. And they have the best of children. Their children may have some sloppy habits. They might be lazy or something. They might be all kinds of things that would irritate most of us. But their children love their parents. Their children want to please the parents. The children are in harmony with each other. They have a positive attitude towards life. They have hope. They have a vision. And they're just having a great time living, being a family, and looking forward to advancing in life. Now, the element that is present in that family is Jesus, reflected in thankfulness, joy, thankfulness, and joy, and thankfulness, and happiness. Now, I've had people say to me, you know, I have the joy of the Lord, but joy and happiness are just two different things. Well, if God can't make you happy, then you need to go get you another religion. Because Jesus Christ, when He puts joy in your heart, you'll be happy. Don't give me all that stuff about the happenstances and all that. When you start separating that, then you're trying to separate your soul from your body. And God doesn't do that. He comes to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And it's going to leave you joyful, happy, and thankful. You know, that's the context in which you raise good kids. You're cloning your kids. They are rooted in your soul. They're not rooted in your principles or precepts. They're rooted in your soul. And they're rooted in the souls of the parents as they are blended together, mama and daddy, in harmony with one another. And those children draw nourishment from both parents, and they draw life. And they grow up to be like their parents. So we need a revival within. There's only two kinds of life, the natural life and the Jesus life. The natural life is just what you are on your own with the best of your thoughts and intentions. The Jesus life is the worshiping God life. It's the enjoying His presence life. It's the getting up in the morning saying, good morning, Lord Jesus. It is driving along and saying, thank you, Lord, for your beautiful world. It's the knowledge that He sees you all the time. I'm going to be preaching a message real soon that's been stirring in my heart. And it's going to be titled, Holiness in the Secret Parts. Holiness in the Secret Parts. You see, there is no holiness if there's no holiness in the secret parts. And if God doesn't dwell in your secret parts, He doesn't dwell in you at all. If He doesn't dwell in your private moments, He doesn't dwell in you at all. And when God does dwell there, let me tell you something. You're going to be a good child trainer. You're going to raise up godly, happy, cheerful kids, and they are going to go the way that you train them up by your example. Parents must exemplify a passion and joyful life. Passionate and joyful life. You see, you must sell your children on your worldview. It's not enough just to say we're Christians and that's the best way to go. Because there are lots of people out there offering alternative worldviews. And the thing about it is, many of them are much more attractive than many of our families. Children want to see their parents passionately in love.
We will continue this broadcast in a part 4 and possibly a 5. So stay tuned and keep listening and keep learning. And let it touch your soul. Hallelujah.
Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.